higher tuition fees, are they on the cards for students here? The Higher Education Minister, Dr. Stephen Farry, has told the Irish News he wants a conversation about higher education funding. He says the sector is underfunded compared to England. Tuition fees for the next 2 years here will be 3,805 quid, 3,805, 3,925 per year. In England, universities can charge students up to 9,000 a year. Fergal McFerrin, President of the National Union of Students, Union of Students in Ireland, is with us today. Morning to you, Fergal.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, as is the MLA, Basil McRae, former chair of the Assembly's Employment and Learning Committee. Should they be paying as much as people in England, Basil?
I think that our universities are underfunded, and I think our biggest challenge is about 30% of our students leave and go to England. And if you want to know why that happens, it's because the Northern Ireland Assembly imposes a cap called the MASM cap that says you can't have enough students. So what I would like to see is the cap removed so that those people that want to study in Northern Ireland can study in Northern Ireland. And we're going to have to fund it in some way. And I think that student fees is part of that solution.
So you think student fees should go up?
I've been on record on that for some time. Provided you've got the necessary safeguards to make sure that those that are coming from challenging backgrounds are protected, I think it's not a trivial decision to decide which course you take or which university you go to. But I, above all, am keen to keep people in Northern Ireland because, as we heard in the last few days, ALMAC and others are saying we do not have enough graduates in Northern Ireland and we badly need them.
Why should students get... it's a massive discount compared to what students are paying across the water, Fergal.
Well, firstly, to rebut what Basil just said, if he's been paying attention to what's happened in England over the past few years, actually, the system that they've imposed of higher tuition fees hasn't worked. And the point at which they're at now is actually when we're reaching the point where the percentage of students who can't pay back the loan is to the point that actually the state will be losing money on the system that they've started to impose.
But a student only pays a loan when they can afford to do so, when they're earning enough to do so. So why not pay for your own education?
Well, this comes back to who
why
can
am I paying for it?
But well, yeah, that's the point. But it comes back to the debate as to whether here in Northern Ireland we see education as a public good and something that adds value in itself to society.
No, that's not the question, is it? If it's the question is, first of all, if students are paying up to £9,000 a year across the water, you seriously don't think that there should be parity across the UK? We're a special case here, are we?
No, but those students from England and so on that come here have to pay that same level. And I'm not justifying that. I'm saying that's unfair. I'm saying across the board, education should be free and should be accessible to all. And there are ways and means that we can afford to do that.
How?
Well, if you look at, and it comes back to something that your previous caller just said, here in Northern Ireland, our executive and our assembly have, for the most part, failed absolutely miserably to deliver for the people of Northern Ireland. And if you take the fact that, say, in 2007, Deloitte released a report that said maintaining the cost of division and segregation in society here through duplication and multiplication of services cost billions and billions of pounds. Free education in higher and further education here in Northern Ireland would cost only a fraction of the amount that would be saved through that.
Basil?
Well, Fergal's not right when he says the system isn't working. The system was always designed that you borrowed money to do a course of your choice, and only if you were able to reach a certain threshold of income, £21,000 I think it is, would you start to reach. So the system has not failed. The system is right. The OECD said this is the exemplar system for the whole of Europe to follow. And the key point that Fergal is not tackling is we do not have enough students in Northern Ireland with the right degrees. Everybody is crying out, more students, more engineers, more scientists. And the question is, how do you finance it? Now, here's the issue whenever you look at, Fergal accused me of not paying attention. Let me direct him to the London Economics. They did a piece for the BBC Newsnight. And they came back and they said, cutting tuition fees has the counterintuitive result of helping the better-off graduates. It's the wrong way round. You want to get people to go to university, get a good qualification, to get a good job, and if and only if they earn sufficient money, they should pay it back. That seems to me to be a pretty good system.
What is wrong with that system? That it's not a debt that you have to pay no matter what, Fergal. It's a debt you repay if you're earning enough to repay it.
Well, I would say that the system of education we have here in Northern Ireland, it's not as bad as in other parts of the world, but it still perpetuates inequality. And you look at who accesses higher education. Part of it is about talking about the vision of society that we want to see in Northern Ireland and how we want everyone to be able to be afforded access to the opportunities that they deserve. And it's through that that we'll be able to renew society and create the Northern Ireland that we want to see. And Basil can quote things
at
me there.
You've just ducked the question. So why is it not okay to ask someone to repay their education fees if they can afford to? So you wait until, I don't know, I'm sure Vinny can find it for me here. Do you know how much it is? How much is it?
30 years, it's written off. 21,000 is the threshold. And if you haven't repaid it, by the end of 30 years, it gets written off.
So you have to be earning over 21 grand a year, do you?
Yes.
But there in itself is
what's wrong with that? Hold on, Fergal. What's wrong with that?
There in itself is a problem. We have, say in England, 45% of people who are taking out these loans will never repay the loan. That's getting to the point that where the system itself isn't sustainable because it won't pay for itself.
That means 45% of students then are getting free student education.
Yeah, but you see, the problem with that is that that's a black hole in public funding. So we either need to fix it now in a way that means that we're funding education holistically, or we allow that to continue to the point where government doesn't have money to fund education.
You're trying to have your cake and eat it this morning because you're wanting government to plow even more into the system so that you lot pay nothing for your own education. And then you're saying, on the other hand, that you're worried about the government's black hole.
But the black hole in the education funding system is all part and parcel of the same discussion. Basil quoted something there at me a minute ago, but just like that, the Higher Education Commission in England said that the fee situation facing students in England was not sustainable and was the worst of both situations.
What do you want to do? What are you studying?
I've graduated now. I graduated a few weeks ago.
What did you study?
Politics, philosophy and economics.
What do you want to do?
A job that I can find.
Tough, is it?
Yeah. And that's the problem. In Northern Ireland, we have young people, not just young people, because education is a lifelong process, but we have people who, first of all, are deterred from entering education because of the debt associated with that. But not only that, when people get out of education, the jobs aren't there for them. And I agree with what Basil said there about ALMAC and so on. One of our own success stories from within Northern Ireland who are having to look outside of Northern Ireland for the skill base that they need. And part of the problem there is that our education system through higher and further education is too rigid and not responsive to our local economy as well.
Jim's in Downpatrick. Morning, Jim.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, Stephen, I think it's pathetic that students complaining about how much they have to pay. Because you know something? Half of them never pay it back. And the first thing they do when they get their grant is go on holiday. I mean, if it's £10,000, I mean, they could be fixed 50 or 60 years of age and still not pay it. They could care less. So, like, it's talking about how much a student fees, that doesn't matter. 900,000, they never pay it back. And as soon as you get their degree here, where do they go? They go to England, they go to Australia, they go to America, they go somewhere where they can make money. Northern Ireland does not get the money back.
So what must it be like for, I don't want to sound patronised to say a young kid, but what must it be like for a young man, young woman? They come out of university, Jim. Fergal's looking for a job, so it's hard enough to get a job in the first place. Once they get a job, massive house price increases relative to your day. So they're trying to get themselves onto the housing ladder, and then they've got a 20-odd grand debt round their neck.
Stephen, they never even think about that £21,000 grant. That's the least of their worries. If they want to get a house, the ones that stay here will try and get a house. But how many of them leave? Now, that young fellow was on before. If he got offered a job in the morning in America, he'd be on the next plane.
Hello, Jim. Jim, let me tell you something. I spent 5 years studying at Queen's, and for every year that I studied, I also worked a part-time job. And we carried out research last year. Let me finish. Sorry, you had your time. Almost two-thirds of students in Northern Ireland regularly worry about meeting the cost of their living expenses while they're studying. And an increasing number of students who are supposed to be studying full-time or working hours that are almost full-time hours.
I wonder how many of those students that worry about paying their bills are out getting blocked a couple of nights a week.
Well, see, this is a stereotype that's perpetuated, and I think that's very unhelpful, because more and more often, through research that we've carried out, says that actually, in terms of the rising cost of living in Northern Ireland, maintenance grants and loans don't cover that basic cost. And when you have two-thirds of students who are saying that they can't afford to meet their basic living expenses, that's talking about heating their home, buying their weekly shop and paying their bills.
Do you buy that, Jim?
Good question. Could I ask you a question?
Go on ahead.
Okay. You've done your 5 years brilliant. You've done everything you can. You've supported yourself, whatever. You've come through university, tough and all it is. You're there at the end, right? Now you've no job, right? Are you going to stay on the dole for the next year? Can you go on the dole for the next year? Or what happens in 3 months' time, somebody says to you, look, I got a job in the States, I'm going. You want to come, I can get you one. Would you go or would you not go?
Look, I appreciate where you're coming from, Jim. What I'd say is that this discussion we're having is a distraction, because the people that we should be having a debate with are the politicians who should have fixed this problem by now, the politicians who should have provided our young people in Northern Ireland with opportunities, and we should be holding those people to account.
Well, they're trying to, aren't they? They're trying to bring inward investment. They're doing their best.
But if you look at the decision-making processes that they've had for the last 5-10 years, the very fact that they've made pretty bogus economic decisions that have left us in a position where our budgets have been constrained to the point where millions and millions of pounds have been taken from our universities and colleges.
And those politicians, Fergal, who you are criticising, have kept your student fees lower than England.
Yeah. And
you should be saying thank you to them.
I mean, I find it very difficult to find anything to thank them for. I don't feel, and my members in Northern Ireland feel, in terms of students' unions, do not feel as though politicians, broadly speaking in Northern Ireland, there are some good eggs, aren't serving the public to the extent they should be, and aren't doing the people of Northern Ireland justice. And it's about time that politics here...
Right to say that.
Hold on, I want to come in on that.
Go on, Basil.
I want to come in on that.
Hold on, Jim. Go on, Basil.
You see, when people criticise politicians, what they really mean is, we want our fees lowered, we want our grants increased, we want our freebies increased. People do not understand that the economic reality is you've got to find a degree that will get you a job. And you have to go to somebody out in the real world and say...
So you don't believe in the public value of education, Basil?
So what I believe is in education, but you sitting on the dole with your 5 years of education does not seem to me to be very productive.
I'm not on the dole, Basil.
Well, the key thing will be this, Fergal. The key thing will be this. Why don't you, as the NUS, want to see an increase in numbers of students studying in Northern Ireland? And if you do, if you want to see them go up to McGee or wherever, why don't you think about a way that you can fund it? Because what I can tell you, it sounds like...
I outlined that earlier.
We're currently talking about higher tuition fees on the cards for students here. The Higher Education Minister, Dr. Stephen Farry, isn't available to talk to you this morning. He did give us a statement in which a Dell spokesperson is talking about the higher education big conversation. There are various stages to it. I don't think I can bring myself to read all of this. Let's see. First stage will focus on promoting the value of higher education to individuals, the economy and wider society. Second stage, informed by stage one, will be similar to a public consultation where the department will seek opinions and solutions from key stakeholders. Although the department will not be putting forward specific policy proposals, it does welcome... Well, why not? Why wouldn't you put forward specific policy proposals? You're the Department for Education and Learning, aren't you? Employment and Learning. So they're not putting forward specific policy proposals, but they do welcome all options being open for debate. So you've got to make them up as you go along and then debate them. And discussion based on the evidence that we will be presented. It's intended that the findings of this wider conversation will shape the department's higher education bids for the next comprehensive spending review period and future policy decisions. I'd be quite interested, actually, and we will. I'm sure Stephen comes on the programme quite often, so I'm sure he's not ducking this. It'll be interesting. We'll see if we can get him on tomorrow or the next day to explain why he thinks it's an option to put the education fees up for students here. Fergal McFerrin is still with us this morning, President of the National Union of Students, as is Basil McRae. Billy's in Belfast. Morning to you, Billy.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Billy.
A number of years ago, I contacted, I think it was Mervyn Storey, who was chairman of the Education Committee at that time, about a fact of an article I had picked up that there was, two and a half times more students left university education here after 2 or 3 years than there was in the rest of the UK. And it turned out that those students didn't pay them any of their loans back, nor was there any means of tracking them, because he wrote to the then education minister who confirmed that.
So what's your point? What do you think should happen?
The point was that the taxpayers paid for these people. That they haven't even went, if they failed their exam, well, that was hard lines.
When you say these people...
Sorry for them, but somebody who then took a loan of a lot of £1,000 of taxpayers' money...
But Billy, hold on a minute.
...spent a lot of it around the area there, Shaftesbury Square and what have you, and the pubs and what have you. Nice lifestyle, and then took themselves off, and there's...
when you say
no
these...
...of any of them people getting their money back for... something they give up on.
When you say these people, Billy, it's the next generation. It's the next generation of doctors and scientists.
It's not all the next generation, because there's many decent people in the next generation. An awful lot of them, including my own grandchildren.
Fergal? I mean, you're shaking your head.
Yeah, I find it really difficult sitting here listening to people demonise students. Yeah, everyone's going to have it. You are when you stand there and say that students are spending their money in Shaftesbury.
It's a disgrace that the fact that these people can take thousands of pounds of the pub taxpayers' money.
Well, Billy, have a listen to Fergal. Let Fergal speak to you.
Up and leave before they even had a go at getting a
Billy.
Degree.
Fergal, Billy, Fergal.
And contributing to the society. Here.
Yes, Billy, and that's what it's about, contributing to society. Do you pay your taxes towards the National Health Service and so on?
I pay my taxes towards everything.
Yes, exactly. And do you not believe that education is a public good, and that through education we will be able to ensure...
It's public good for a lot of thousands of students to pack it in. And have a
well, see, this is exactly you demonising students right now.
Is that a good useful for the money?
Right,
good use for the money is people who go on get an education.
Would you let Fergal speak to you?
He's not speaking to me.
Well, he's not speaking to you because you won't give him any space to do so. No, let him speak to you.
Hello, Billy.
Hello.
Right.
You're a very polite young man and well-spoken, so I'm quite...
God, aren't you patronising? Right, listen for just 1 second. Almost two-thirds of students across higher and further education regularly struggle to meet the cost of their basic living expenses. We have thousands of students in Northern Ireland who are now working not just one part-time job, but two, and sometimes up to full-time hours alongside studying full-time. You think students have some kind of easy lifestyle? Let me tell you, as someone who's just come out...
University.
Sorry?
So I'm well aware of what's required.
So why do you come on air and challenge me in demonising students when you know
I'm
fine rightly?
I'm demonising students. You keep on saying that.
But that is what you're doing.
Those students who don't finish what they started.
So you admit that...
And have used public money to finance whatever enjoyment they had during those 2 or 3 years.
Okay, well, let me ask you this then. Do you think the fact that so many students go into education, then leave their course at some point, is their fault or the fault of a system that basically means that our career service and the advice and support that young people who are leaving school and post-16 education means that they don't actually know what it is they want to do or why they want to do it? They're just kind of shipped off in a general direction.
You never think of the generations went before you went to university and didn't have any public help.
Well, actually, the generations that went before Fergal had free student fees. People like Basil McRae, for example. Let's just have a wee look at you, Mr. Basil. Did you go to university?
Yes, I went to university. And
you got a grant then?
I did, yes.
Right.
And I also went to the University of Ulster to do a master's, where I had to pay my own fees, which I didn't get a grant for.
But when you did your first degree at university, you did not have fees.
Correct.
Right. So you benefited from it.
I did, yes.
Right.
And I have been repaying significant sums in my taxation from my income for quite a period of time. And what we need to address here, Stephen, is that 52%, the highest in the whole of the United Kingdom, in fact, the highest in the British Isles, 52% of our young people go on to higher and further education. But only 35% of them do it in Northern Ireland. And what we've got a system at the moment is all of that excess is people being shoved off to universities in England at the higher fees but they don't come back. And what I'm saying is, if you had a modest increase in fees and removed the cap, the artificial cap on student numbers in Northern Ireland, you would get more people staying here, you get more people doing degrees, they're going to get a job, and you would look after our industry.
Do you know what I would like to ask Farry, by the way, Minister Farry, if I'm being respectful, which of course I always am, what's he doing having this higher ed, what is it called in this statement?
Big
only politicians could have this, the big conversation. Why doesn't Farry come out and actually tell us whether he supports student fees going up or not?
Because he doesn't think he can get past the executive. This is politics.
But he's a minister and he's a politician. What's he stand for?
So he wants to increase the fees. Like, you can see it in his pronunciations. But what he can't do is he cannot get it past the DUP and Sinn Féin. So he's trying to do a public debate that somewhere along the line, in 2 or 3 years' time, they'll say, oh, well, we'll all agree with no alternative. It's not the right way to do policy, but that's what's going on.
Tim Hedgley, you want to speak to Basil McRae this morning?
Yeah, you asked the question that I was going to ask. It seems incredible that Basil's quite happy to take a free degree at the public purse, but, you know, it hasn't produced any great amount of wonderful politicians in Northern Ireland. I'm a mature student. I'd never been to university before. I've never had a degree, although Basil's got a free degree on the public purse. But I can't get a student loan. I'm banned from getting a student loan because I'm a mature student.
I didn't know that, actually. So what are the rules?
Well, the rules are you're not entitled to a student loan if you do a part-time degree. And although I'm retired, I still have other commitments. I'm a volunteer for a charity. So I can't go in and do a full-time degree.
Why should I subsidise you?
Sorry?
Why should I subsidise you?
Because the British government, subsidised you and paid for your degree.
Actually, what's happening when you look at the economics?
Well, yes,
we want people to go in and do degrees. You're talking over me, which doesn't sound like an educated thing to do.
No, but my light was on, Basil. You started to talk over me.
Why are you talking over me? Let me make a point to you.
Because you interrupted me, and I think as an elected member, you should actually sit back and listen to the voters. Because you started to talk over me.
At what point do I get to come in and have a conversation?
Basil, Stephen runs the show, not you. And when it's your turn to come in, Stephen will invite you back into the conversation.
Basil McRae.
So the issue about university education is, why should we subsidise people for free that people are going to get well-paid jobs in the future, if you're going to be a doctor or an engineer or whatever? Now, there is a problem about getting your tuition fees paid up front. So there's a perfectly sensible system that comes in that says, take a loan, get your education, get a job, and then if you earn a certain amount of money, you can repay it. And if you don't, you don't repay it. For people that want to go on, I'm just going to say one more thing and then you can come in. I just want to say, for people that want to do part-time education or things that are interesting, I'm fully supportive of that. But I do have to say, why should the general public, why should the taxpayer subsidise your endeavours? If you want to do it, it should be available. You should do it, but it's at your cost.
Because they subsidised your endeavours and they subsidised your degree, and now that you're a politician, like the increase in politicians' wages of 10%, when the rest of the country is being told to face austerity...
That's MPs you're talking about.
...and 1% increases in their wages, and politicians manage to end up getting 10%.
You're not being accurate. You see, as Stephen has just pointed out, that 10% that you're talking about is MPs. That's Westminster. That's nothing to do with the Assembly.
MLA's got 11% actually a couple of years back.
I've already said to you, whenever I went to do my master's degree at the University of Ulster in Jordanstown, it was a 2-year course which I funded myself through and paid my own fees. My own living expenses and everything. Here's what I really want to do, though.
Basil, it's not your turn.
University at Northern Ireland.
Right, Tim, go on.
Find a way of funding it.
It's hard whenever Basil accuses somebody.
Okay. Tim Hedgley, your light's on.
Thank you. And Basil, I would appreciate it if you give other people the opportunity.
Get on with it.
Right. It's quite unusual that, you know, it's acceptable for you to get a free degree. I have to fund myself for 5 years And as you said, you know, you can go to university and get a loan. I can't get a loan. I've paid my taxes for 35 years and then have decided to go to university and asked for a loan, asked for assistance. I'm not in a well-paid job. I'm a pensioner. But now I'm being refused any financial support from this so-called government, what? Or MLAs and whatever. You guys are sitting on £60,000 or £70,000 a year. It's very easy to afford 2 years at the university.
Well, they're not on £60,000 a year.
It's not accurate.
You're probably on high 40s, low 50s, Basil, something like that?
It's 55,000. Sorry, it's 50,000.
Wow! I wish I was on that.
Yeah, well, maybe if you went off and did a degree that
I can't afford to!
Well, if I were you, I would look at long-term planning and say, let's see what degree I would like to do. Let's see if it's for enjoyment or if it's for to get a job or whatever. Your personal circumstances will determine what you should do. My point is, we cannot carry on with universities that are underfunded.
You say
universities that need...
That's unbelievable.
You say, Tim, that you're a pensioner. How old are you?
I'm 57.
So what good is a degree going to do you now? What do you want to do?
Well, what I would like to do, I'm studying law, and what I would like to do is to provide advice through the likes of citizens' advice clinics to people for consumer and, you know, small legal issues that they quite simply can't afford to access the legal system.
Fair enough. Here's Siobhan in Derry / Londonderry.
Hi, Stephen. How are you doing? Hello, everybody.
Some people get their way. Of course, Londonderry will be renamed. Go on, Siobhan.
Well, I'm saying nothing about that. But I wanted to, first of all, congratulate Fergal, because I think he's really got a raw deal this morning. Everybody's on his back. Well done, Fergal.
Thank you, Siobhan.
Some of you people are living in fairyland in terms of students. I am a mother of two wonderful girls. I think my teachers, girls to you. And I mean both girls to university, because you need to do the maths here, Stephen, right? One of my daughters studied in London and £5,000 of a student loan. And then, of course, you get a loan for your fees, right? But that goes straight. Accommodation.
Siobhan, I'm afraid your phone, we can hardly hear you because you're breaking up this morning. We'll give the last word to you, Fergal.
I think this big conversation that Dr. Farrey is initiating
is a big conversation.
We welcome it as an opportunity to challenge what I've just challenged Basil on. Education, in my view, is a public good, and we should be investing in people, because people are our greatest resource, and it's the only way that we'll be able to have the Northern Ireland we want to see in the next 5-10 years' time.
Invest in yourself.
Invest in the people as our greatest resource, because that is true. Because, well, you see the calibre of politician that you have on this show all the time. We need to renew a generation of that.
Oh. You think we need a clean sweep, do you? I mean, new brush?
I wouldn't be opposed to it, nor would my members.